Thank you ever so much. Thank you, sir. Thank you, ma'am. Praise the Lord. I do thank you. I certainly do. Thank you ever so much. God bless you. Amen. Thank you. Oh, praise the Lord for you. Amen. In the Lord good? Amen. What would we do without the Lord? Shall we turn now over here to 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter? 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. And as we get in here, the Holy Spirit's been placing this upon my heart of all the others. I've given you prophecy so forth, and a little bit of prophecy here, of course. But then I'll be given to give you the working of the Holy Spirit and so forth. And then the Bible being the Word of God and how we praise God for it. And then we've tried to exalt the Lord Jesus, knowing this, that God the Father wants Him to have all the preeminence. And so now what? What for today? Now the Holy Spirit's placed this upon my heart because, therefore, this is a warning. Now as we get here, and I'm putting out a new book called As We Wait for the Coming of the Lord Jesus. Now, you know what? We find that there are many people who are carrying on the work as they did way back there in first century Christianity. What was that? There's a new world to conquer. There's everything new. They haven't heard the gospel anymore. I do know that half of the world has not heard the gospel in this age right now. I know that. Yet the Apostle Paul said in his day that the gospel was preached to every creature during his day. Today, that cannot be said. Though we have the gospel going around the world by radio on these great radio stations, and the world is hearing the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ for the payment of our sin as never before. But we are not in back there at that time. We cannot say we are building upon the other man's foundation. Because when we go, we find the gospel has been there before. I was talking to some missionaries in Bolivia some years ago, and they said, when we get way back there, back in the bush in the jungles with the Indians, we find that they have the story of the gospel. It's not Jesus, but they couldn't remember the name, but it's been handed down by mouth to mouth. They heard the gospel at one time. We find that Mr. Tipkin of the Sudan Interior Mission said when he went into the heart of Africa, lo and behold, he found out that the Africans had the story of God sending his son to be the propitiation for the sins of man. At that time, they got the gospel, but today, now, what are we saying this? Wherever we go, while we wait, we're going to still give the gospel. Keep going out, sending missionaries, starting churches, Bible colleges until the coming of the Lord. Amen. But then there's another aspect of taking the gospel of the Lord Jesus, and that is at the time of Martin Luther. Well, we got plenty of time. That's 400 years ago. Got plenty of time. We build big edifices, and we've got a program. We're here forever. We do not have that much time, not at all. As we wait, we're looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ that can come in any moment. What are we going to do? We're going to occupy till He comes. Oh, here, listen at the first verses here. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle would dissolve, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon our house which is from heaven. When it says this, the house of this tabernacle will dissolve, and the Greek says destroyed, we're already found out in 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, and it says, behold, I show you a mystery. We not all sleep, not all of us going to die. But you know, as we wait for the coming of the Lord Jesus, we find out that many are dying. I remember when, just before I dedicated my life to the Lord many years ago, there at my uncle's funeral home, he took me around to see all the caskets, and one day it broke my heart with the little baby caskets. There they were for 6 months, for a year, for 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, and so forth. And I said, oh my, they're so beautiful, but you think babies have to be put in here? He said, they die too. Oh, there's death everywhere. And so this is where, while we are occupying to become, He comes, therefore some of us may fall by the wayside in death. Some young, some older, we cannot tell. Maybe I'm speaking this for myself. I just trust God gives me some more years. And like this, I was up here in Memphis about 4 weeks ago, and the dear pastor there got up and said, "Oh, Lord, let Dr. Karen be alive at the coming of the Lord Jesus." I said, "Amen, Lord." First time anybody ever prayed that for me. Like that. Oh, Dr. Cameron, you know, I like to be alive kicking. Amen. Miss Mary has to put me in a wheelchair, carry me around to the coming of the Lord. Amen. Oh, I like it, but I know this. I can be gone 10 seconds. 2 weeks ago, there was my own brother-in-law and his dear wife there on the campus of Tennessee Temple. He's been there 28 years. She has too. In a moment, a car went through a stoplight, ran into them, turned them over, threw her out, crushed her. She died. And of course, he's been in the hospital in extensive care and all like this. Taken out just like that. Oh, my. What we're saying here. Now, he said we are growing earnestly to be clothed with this new body. Now, 1 Corinthians 15 says, "For we all shall be changed in a moment, a twinkling of an eye. For this corruption, those that have died 1 second, all these years." And I've told this to my other classes. Remember 1971, we took a whole group from here. It was around 37 from Florida Bible College, went on this trip. We had 92 in the party. Brother and Ms. Busby was along. Brother and Ms. Miller was along. Oh, we had such a glorious time. And we had gone through the catacombs that day. And they began to tell us that this is where they buried the dead. They were not allowed, the Christian or the Jew, to bury the dead within the city limits. And so they had to bury on the outside. And as they buried, they just went down, 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 carved out of the rock and put the bodies there. And he said, "There are no bones today. They've all turned to dust." Well, a few of our boys went off, you know, and see what they could see. And so that night after supper, we all got together. They came up and said, "Brother Buzz, we want you to come for him, Brother Cameron." They handed me something in a napkin, all wrapped up. I said, "Oh." I said, "We're dismissed. See you in the morning at 6:30. They came up and said, "Why didn't you go and open up?" I said, "You have committed a penitentiary offense." What did they give me? They gave me a piece of a bone, and about 4 inches. And the other day I came across it. Still that, you know, and I said, "I don't know whether you're a boy, girl, man, or woman, but boy, you're going to have to do some traveling to get to the rest of your body one of these days." Amen. Oh, my goodness, a lot. But you know what? The Word of God says, "Whether we be, therefore, as just died," that's corruptible, "or been dead a long time, turned to dust, or brittle, like I had there, or," and it says, "we're going to be changed. And we be alive at the coming of the Lord Jesus." Mortality shall put on immortality. Corruption puts on incorruption. Not mortality puts on incorruption. Neither does corruption put on immortality. Mortality has to do with the living. Corruption has to do with the bodies that are dead. And it says this, "For our citizenship is not here upon this earth, but in heaven, from whence we look for the coming of the Lord Jesus, who shall change these vile bodies, whether we be living or whether we be dead, and be fashioned like unto his most glorious body." Oh my, we shall be changed. Now, he's already told them this. Now he said, "We groan for our new body." Now he's not saying we are groaning for death. No, he began to talk about mortality. He says this in the 4th verse, "For we that are in this tabernacle and in this tent, in this body, do groan, being burdened, not that we should be unclothed, but clothed upon that mortality might be swallowed up of life." Mortality. He's looking for the coming of the Lord Jesus, even at that time. Oh, it can't be much longer. Some years ago, many years ago, I was there in Chattanooga before I came back from Minneapolis, and I heard Dr. Robinson preach, and he had it in the paper, the chair draped in black. He said, "I'm going to be preaching that on Sunday night." When we got there to the old tabernacle, it was packed and jammed. Upon the platform, he had a big sofa chair up there, and he had some black cloth all over it. Now, he said years and years ago at a certain penitentiary, gave the name, location, it was a custom that on the eve of an execution, that they would get a chair draped in black and put the man who was to die the next morning in it. All day long he used that chair. When he went to eat, he sat in that chair. Everyone knew that he was the next one consigned to death. And by this he says, you know what? There's someone in this tabernacle right now who is sitting in the chair draped in black. You have been appointed of God. God knows it, that you're going to be the next one to die here. And that was on Sunday night. On Thursday, of all things, a precious little girl, 9 years old, who had been there, who had accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as her Savior several months before that, got violent sick, to the hospital, and died immediately. And they had the funeral on Saturday. And as we were there and to see the funeral and so forth, and talking with the mother, she said, oh my, how that message got hold of us, that we should be ready. Never did I dream that I could dream myself or my husband could be sitting in there, but not that precious 9-year-old daughter. No, death, therefore, does not have a holiday yet for old and young and the very young. Someone here is sitting in the chair draped in black. It could be I. It sure could. But this is what I want to say. Oh, how marvelous the Word of God begins to say this. It's absent from the body, present with the Lord, if we should die. Oh, my, at home, for we know this, that while we are in this body, we are absent from our home. But if we are absent here, we are at home with the Lord. My. The Apostle Paul in the same book here in the 12th chapter begins to say, I knew a man 14 years ago. Whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. Such a one was caught up into the third heavens. And I knew a man, whether in the body or out of the body, God knoweth, such a person was caught into paradise and heard things unlawful for a man to utter. He said, if I was in the body, so what? He said, if I was out of the body, I didn't miss it. That shows us we know. One man began to tell me one time I was in church, and he said, well, Paul didn't know. How do you know? He said, God knew it. All right, what is it? The Word of God lets us know that therefore he was stoned at Lystra 14 years before. And our King James Version said he was dragged out, supposedly that he was dead. The oldest manuscript said that he was dragged out of the city dead. Now, it was so real. He heard things. He had his soul with it, his spirit for unlawful for a man to utter. He could reason, and therefore everything but the body. And his body was there. Isn't that marvelous to know? And I was talking to one man about that. I said, Brother Mike, and he was telling me that he says, you know, I've got cancer. It won't be long. Then I said, you're ready to go. Oh, he said, I'm ready to go. And I said, won't it be wonderful when God says goodbye here, right there with him? Yes. And I said, my, you're going to hear things, see things, know things, just like you did here before. It's going to be more real. I said, you know, Mr. Moody said, one of these days you're going to read in the paper that Moody is dead, but don't you believe it. I'll be more alive than I ever was before. Amen. Oh, he said, you don't mean that, Brother Mark. I said, yes. Oh, he said, praise God. I thought I was just going to sleep. And then in the resurrection, wake up. I said, the body sleep, but you'll be alive with the Lord. Oh, my, he said, may the Lord hasten that day. Amen. In just 2 or 3 days, we went to be with the Lord. All right, what is our attitude now? Now, when we get out and we're speaking to lost people, we are speaking to dead people, dead in trespasses and sin. And the Apostle Paul places a Jew in there and says, we were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. There's no difference between the Jew and the Greek as far as righteousness is concerned, because we are all do fade as a leaf. And all of our righteousness, not our sins, but our righteousnesses are nothing but filthy rags. Yes. Dead in trespasses of sin. That's the picture God would have us. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. Made alive unto God. But now, also when I'm speaking to the Christian who are born again. I trust every one of you are saved. May have some visitors here who have never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ. All these realities for ours, when we take Christ's life in dead cause, you know what? Oh, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob are still living. They are. They do not have their bodies as yet. But the Lord Jesus said, you do always err, knowing not the scriptures nor the power of God. For God is not the God of the dead, but he's the God of the living. Amen. Isn't that marvelous? So that whether we wake or whether we sleep, we are the Lord's. Oh, no fear of death, no fear of the grave. No. All my absent from the body, present with the Lord. Now, then I'm speaking to those who are born again. You be taken Christ, believing that he, the Son of God, died in your place, died for your sins, and that he rose bodily from the dead. And God said that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Okay, by grace are you saved through faith. You can't save yourself. We know that. It is a gift of God. Yes, the salvation is a gift of God, and faith is a gift of God. Where you get it? You get it from the Word. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Yes. And all salvation is all of God's grace and all of God's mercy. Yes. But now look at the aspect that God looks upon us. We were dead in trespasses and sin. Now we turn to look toward Calvary and we're living. We're born again. Yep. We're born again dead folks. What in the world are you talking about? I'm talking to people that are dead as far as their sins are concerned. Years and years ago, we read of this great squadron there. Mama squadron there, and they were quartered there in England. They had such discipline in their problems there. No one took anything seriously. They had so many asking for sick bay. Oh my, they never went up with every ship in the air. And so they sent a certain general there to see if he could bring Cosmos out of chaos. All the morale was low, down. It was just insipid, it's terrible. Just wish they could go and scatter them among the other squadrons. But this had to be saved. So they sent this one general known to get everything, whip everything up in shape. And when he got there, the first thing he did, boy, he set them upright. They knew that they had a general there. Then he got before the men. So many reported for sick that day. They didn't want to go out on the bombing missions. We know what they went through. Terrible. Never knowing what one authority would bring to them, death or being maimed, they did not know. We know that. But he got up before them. It was so thrilling during World War II to hear this story. He got before them. He said, listen, men, when you joined the Air Corps, you were dead right then. Boy, isn't that one. He said, no, you're not looking for death. You're already dead. Forget about death. You're already dead. You died when you joined this man's air corps. You're dead. Reckon it. Boy, I like that. You are not alive. You'll never get out of here alive. Now, you died when you joined the air corps. From now on, you are dead people. So forget about death. If you happen to live tomorrow, okay. If you happen to live today after tomorrow, okay. But you died when you joined the air corps. Oh, my. Did you know what God says to you? That when you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, we talk about dying. Oh, my, I don't want to die. I don't want to die either. I'm not afraid to. But oh, how God gets people ready for death. I've never seen it fail. One day I was going down to Erlanger Hospital in Chattanooga, and by that time I heard a voice say, Mark Cameron. I said, who in the world? And I went into it. There was a lady I haven't seen in 15, 20 years. She said, how's my clarinet player? I said, okay. I used to play in her orchestra at First Baptist Church. She said, how you coming? I said, just fine. And I looked upon her. Oh, my. I knew that the pall of death was upon her. I knew she wouldn't get off that bed. And she said, oh, Brother Mark, I've been hearing so many wonderful things about you. And I said, yes, I'm out here at Alton Park Baptist Church now. She said, would you do me the privilege of reading the Word of God? Would you read to me a little bit about heaven? I said, I certainly will. And we turned there to the book of the Revelation where the city comes out of heaven, four square. And when we read that, and we wept, and she says, oh, what a beautiful place that is. And I'm ready. I left her after prayer. I knew God had prepared her. In like manner, several weeks later, I was there in the same hospital. I went to call on the chairman board of deacons of Highland Park Baptist Church. Brother Shedd, I went to see him. He still had his clothes. I said, I just heard that you've been brought here. What's the matter? He said, I don't know. I'm here for observation. I'm losing a little weight. Don't know what's the cause of it. And he had his testament in his hand. And I says, are you reading? He said, I'm reading about heaven, Brother Martin. Who would have ever thought that that man, just in his early 50s, but God got him ready. And he's reading, we had prayer, and he died just a few days later. Isn't it marvelous how God gets you prepared? Here's Mr. Moody who said, it takes grace to live, and when it comes time to die, God give me grace to die. If you don't have dying grace, and I've seen that. Went by one lady, you know, young lady. She says, you know, Dr. Moore has just been here. I said, yes. And she said, I told him, said, the doctor said, I'm dying, but I can't get the victory to die. Then he said, you're not going to die then. And she didn't. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, how God prepares his people to go. Now, listen to what God says. For the love of Christ constraineth us. The 14th verse. Because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. You paid for your sin. God says, the wages of sin is death. God said, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. You're going to have to pay for your sin. And if your sins are paid for, and they are, then you died by paying for your sin. But we paid for them what? By the hand of another, the Son of God himself. But God considers the payment paid, and paid by death. Therefore, we died in our substitute. You died that very day. When you, therefore, took Christ as your Savior, you died. Of course, God reckons it back at Calvary. We reckon it the moment that we got saved. That henceforth, what does it say? That he died for all, that they which live shall not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Oh, my, whether we have 5 minutes or 5 seconds or whether we have 5 months or coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, when we got saved, that's when we died. The payment's been made. Now we are alive and Christ is living through us. Oh, my, and the Father's living in us and Holy Spirit is living in us. And the Word of God says, in him dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and we are complete, have the fullness in him. My. The old man's dead. Reckon him to be dead. As far as we're concerned, he's not. As far as God is concerned, he is. Therefore, what are we? We got the message of reconciliation. Therefore, I'm making over and a complete change. He doesn't change these vile bodies yet, but it's in the sight of God. The old man died. The new man is existing. It's the new man that cannot sin, for his seed remaineth in him. He cannot sin. The new man. The old man does, as far as we're concerned. That's why we confess our sins. Sight of God, the old man died. But in our own view, the old man's still alive. But here we are. Now we are ambassadors for Christ. Oh, we're the ambassadors for Christ. We live unto him. Just live unto him, whether it be just a short time or a longer time. It's Christ living in him. Nothing else. And as our precious song that we heard, our dear sister sang, only one life. That's all you got. And it may be very short. But now we live unto him. And we're telling people, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. That's not talking about complete change in everything. We know what it means. We're in a high order now. We are partaker of the divine nature of God. As far as God is concerned, we are not of this world. As far as God is concerned, we don't even sin. As far as God is concerned. But as far as we're concerned, for he whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. Now we are ambassadors for Christ. We are ambassadors for Christ. What is an ambassador? An ambassador is one who is a citizen of another country. Amen. For our citizenship is not here upon this earth, but in heaven, from whence we look for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. An ambassador is one who has an embassy. That's a part of his country in the foreign land. Praise God. This is a part. This OFBC is a part of the embassy of God Almighty. Amen. My. And we're here. We're ambassadors. We're citizens of another country, but this is extraterritorial rights right here. This is God's territory. Then an ambassador is one who has a portfolio from his government. Praise God, here's our portfolio. Amen. And we find out this, that an ambassador cannot give his own views, not whatsoever. He can only give what his government tells him to say. Praise the Lord, we don't give our views. We say, thus saith the Lord. Amen. We're ambassadors for the Lord Jesus Christ, and therefore we know that before war is declared, the ambassadors are called home. Hey, man. Oh, my, before God declares war and the tribulation of this world, he's going to take us home, for it's not appointed unto us to wrath, but have deliverance through our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, my, isn't it wonderful to be his completely? We're not our own. We've been bought with a price. We're living for him. We're ambassadors for Christ. We are of a new creation, a new order. We are God's creation, partaker of the divine nature. We're his. It's not unto us to say what we are going to do. It's for what he would have us to do. Oh, my. Now, are you saved here this morning? Oh, no doubt we have many visitors. And you have never trusted Christ as your Savior. You know you're lost. You know this, the wages of sin is death. And you know this, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The wages of sin is death. We know that. All of sin comes short of glory of God. We know that. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Oh, while we did not have any strength whatsoever, Christ died for us. The just died for the unjust, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which we draw nigh unto God. It's the work of the Lord Jesus, God's Son, that has taken away the enmity between God and man. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Oh, if I could have the peace of God in my heart, you can have it by trusting the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Accept him. And thou shalt be saved. Shall we pray right now? Are there those here of our visitors, or maybe even a member of our student body here who said, Brother Cameron, I've never trusted the Lord Jesus. I never realized that it's God's Son who died in my place and paid for every sin. And I certainly want this wonderful salvation. And by all I have to do is by faith, trust him, place my faith in him, yes, my belief in him, yes. I want to trust Jesus, my Savior. I believe he's alive. I believe he died for me and rose again. The payment's been made, and I'm accepting him as my Savior. Whatever heads being bowed and every eye closed, just where you are, and you say, yes, I want to make that commitment. I do want to. Lord knows in my heart. Right now I'm asking the Lord, save me, Lord. I'm trusting you. You do that right now wherever you are. We want to pray for you, as we always do, give this invitation. If you've asked God to save you, you trusted him right now, you say, just pray for me. Will you just raise your hand, then take it down? Anyone says, I've taken Christ as my Savior. Anyone over here on the right? Anyone right here? Yes, thank you. Thank you so much. Is there any other? Yes. Any other? In the center aisle now, any other? Says, I'm trusting Christ as my Savior, in this wonderful. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Father, bless the one that we see that has taken Christ as Savior. Bless him, O Lord, and bless all of us. And Lord, may we examine ourselves and see whether we be in the faith or not, for Jesus' sake. Amen and amen.